Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, and thank you for downloading this podcast, which is a conversation between my pal and I, Reverend Ruth Scott, which we recorded at her bedside at Southampton General Hospital last week. And Ruth is undergoing end-of-life care, and I've worked with Ruth now for 10 years, I think it is. Yeah, I think this would be our 10th year of definitely knowing each other, let alone working together. And Ruth has been a missionary. She is a reverend. She's Reverend Ruth Scott. She's been a nurse. She's been a midwife. She's been a mentor. And she's been a shoulder to cry on and a hand to hold for literally probably thousands of people in her life. And now, because she has only a few weeks left to live, she is in a situation which she's helped other people through, as I say many times before. And so I said to her, is there something you'd like to say? Shall we record something that you might want to tell the world, and we'll play it out on this breakfast show? And she said yes. And then when we arrived with the tape recorder, her husband, Chris, her lovely husband, Chris, he said, why don't you just have a chat? So we had a chat, and here it is in its entirety.
One, two.
You sure you want to do this? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course I am.
Yeah.
Though I might not be coherent, Chris, in which case we can ditch it.
So, Ruth, where are we and what's going on?
So we're in Southampton General Hospital, and essentially I'm in the process of dying, Chris, which isn't the place that we expected to be having this conversation.
Not at all. So what's happened? When did it begin to happen?
So, as you know, about 2 years ago, I went, became ill with a lymphoma, which was a rather aggressive one, and had 2 years of amazing treatment. And then, unfortunately, that didn't work. And we just discovered that about 2 weeks ago. And I thought I was going to have a donor stem cell transplant, but that's not possible to have. So now I'm guess I've probably just got a few weeks to live, and is that okay? I've got probably 2 or 3 weeks to live at most. So we're in the middle of saying goodbyes with the family and thinking about how it is to be separating from one another.
Now, death is something you've dealt with all your life. You've helped people with their grief before. You've worked with people overseas who've had to have death as a sort of daily part of their existence, and now you've come to what is almost your own. How did you regard death and dying then, and how does it compare to when it's actually happening?
Yes, it feels very weird at one level, but it also feels very natural at another level. I need to come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to be around for much longer. I've had the most fantastic life, Chris. I wouldn't want it any other way. But I would like it to have been a bit longer if possible. That's not going to happen. So I've got to accept the fact that I'm dying. And I want to die as naturally as possible. We always talk about death as being something in hushed tones. Death's natural, and I want to get rid of all the medical stuff, which I've been able to do, that I have a fantastic team here, and be able to embrace dying, be surrounded by my family, the people that I love, Chris, Freya and Tian, and know that they're going to be all right afterwards, which I think they will be. I'm waffling slightly at the moment because I've gone into that mode.
Slow down, don't worry. Relax. Are you frightened?
No, I'm not frightened. I just wish it had been longer. Because when you've had such a good life and you've loved all the experiences that you've had and you've learnt from them, and I've spent 60 years of just gradually learning And my son at the weekend said to me, he was lying on the bed, hospital bed with me, and he said, "Mum, could you give me 60 years of your wisdom today?"
How did that go?
You could be, you won't be surprised, it wasn't hugely successful, but we just had a lot of close time, and actually that's the most important bit, is being close, sharing with one another. He says to me, "Mum, I'm not saying anything new to you. I keep telling you that I love you, but it's because I'm not going to be able to tell you for very much longer." And I thought, well, we've been able to do this. I've written letters to them. I've sorted out my funeral, as lots of people do when they're facing death. And most of us, I think, are very lucky about the type of deaths that we have, Chris. And all around the world, there are terrible deaths going on. So we can be very romantic about it. But actually, sometimes it's a terrible thing. But I've been really lucky because I'm surrounded by my lovely family, loving me through this journey. And I don't know where it's taking me. I think I'll end up in a wicker coffin, and probably scattered in the Bay of Brodick. And there's a lovely song called by Lady Maizeray, called Chaos and Order, or Order and Chaos. And it says that no energy is ever lost, it's only ever transformed. And I like to think of that, you know, I may become the froth on the top of the wave, or the flame in the fire, or who knows what I might become, but my energy won't be lost. So any energy that we ever create, we add to this universe, and hopefully it's a good, positive energy.
Well, yours definitely is. So having held the hand of many people in the situation you're in now, and having listened to them and talked to them, maybe advised them or tried to reassure them, or just made them feel a bit safer and a bit more secure in great, you know, what is the time of most insecurity, I would imagine, you know, having been on the other end of that, do you feel like, what would you advise people to do now, being where you are?
Not to be afraid to let go, because there comes a time when we need to let go. We have all this wonderful life that we can embrace and share with other people. And then we reach a point where we need to let go and move on with our lives, or move on with our dying. And I'm at that stage, and I got the family supporting me, and that's key to me. And I think one of the things that I've loved, that I really want to share with you, is how much joy I've had through broadcasting, because, as you know, I've been doing it for about 23 years with Terry, and then you very generously said, "Carry on with me," which was really kind. And I've had a wonderful time doing that, so I wanted to thank all the listeners. I'm aware that my brain isn't functioning very well at the moment. The morphine is a rather nice effect. We don't get to say that in the church very often. but it is rather a nice effect, but it does muddle my thinking somewhat. So one of the things that I did whilst I was ill in the first 2 years was write a book, because I wanted to have a look at what life looked like from the shadow of death. So that's one of the things that I've done in the last 2-3 years. So it's called Between Living and Dying, and that's going to come out this year. And it's really looking at how we consider normal life. And when I was looking at life from the point of view that I was likely to die, I thought, actually, some of this life is not in the least bit normal. It's not humane. It's not compassionate. And I wanted to reflect on that. So I wrote a book whilst I was going through chemotherapy in the first year, which got me through all the chemotherapy. And hopefully it will be useful for other people afterwards. And I feel like I've left something small, and something for the children as well, that they'll be able to read at some later point.
You say that sometimes you are reminded by something yourself or something from somewhere else, "Oh, I'm dying." Yeah. So that means that you forget you're dying sometimes.
Yes, I do. And so at the moment, as you see on my arm, I've got what's called a PICC line, which has been my lifeblood, really. It's where I have all the blood taken out and all the injections put in, and it saves me having lots of needles. What did you ask me?
Sometimes you forget you're dying and you have to remind yourself.
Yes, and then I suddenly see a reflection of this in the window and I think, oh.
What's that for?
Yes, what's that for? Or I catch sight of myself and I realise how skinny I am now and I've lost so much weight. But essentially, I'm still me. We still remain ourselves at heart.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And thoughts, you know, as you go to sleep at night, you know, Peaceful.
I've never felt afraid, for which I'm hugely grateful, because I don't think we can always take those things for granted, and a lot of people die in fear. But I haven't felt that. And I look at the wall opposite me, as you see, it's covered in photographs that Freya and Tia and my two children came into the hospital and put up on the wall. This is the ward that I've been on for probably about a year of treatment, on and off. And the ward know me and they're going to help me with the dying process. And Freya and Tian came in and they put all the photographs up, so I have all the family around me. And various members of the family and friends have been coming in over the last, I guess, a couple of weeks since we knew that I wasn't going to last for very long. And folk have been saying goodbye and saying, well, and the lovely thing, Chris, this is so nice.
She's sitting up now.
Yes, I know. Is that letters and cards that normally I don't expect would arrive until after the death and the funeral have been coming beforehand. And it's a bit overwhelming, but it's really nice.
But it's the way it should be, though, isn't it?
Well, I said to somebody who's my mentor about how should I prepare for dying? And he said, well, but your whole life should have been a preparation for dying. And I think he's right that we, what we do with our lives is the key bit when it comes to us dying. And so that's what I've tried to do. And again, I'm waffling because the morphine is kicking in.
What's it like, morphine? Is it really, really nice?
Sometimes I see people coming off and I'm chatting to them and then I open my eyes and then they've gone.
Who's the most interesting person you've met that doesn't exist? Has Churchill popped in here to see you or anything?
Sadly, none of the famous people. It's always, they're always very shady characters, actually, Chris, which probably...
Well, we're real, unfortunately.
So it says a lot more about my psyche, doesn't it?
Out of your hundreds of pauses for thought and all the things you've thought about and you've contemplated and you've tried to convey, you know, in one way or another, what would you like to convey now to people?
That they live with generosity, humanity, graciousness, and love. And those are the only things that really matter. I did have three G's at one point, generosity, graciousness, and something else, which has gone completely from my mind.
What would that be? So generosity, graciousness, and...
Joy? No, that's G.
So suddenly our spelling gets...
Yeah, Tash, shush.
I'm on morphine. Secretly.
You got no excuse.
No.
And so what are you going to miss least? I hear Brexit's pretty high on the list.
It would be pretty high on the list, Chris. What I'll miss most is those that I love.
Yeah.
Well, I perhaps won't miss anything at all. Perhaps, as I said to you a bit earlier, I think I'll probably get taken up into it all. My energy will get taken up into it all and join all the other energies through time that have gradually come together and are creating our universe. I'm sure that there's so much about life that I don't understand and about dying that I don't understand, but I don't have to have the answers, and I will just let that unfold itself if it's going to unfold itself. And I feel perfectly at peace about that.
You do seem at peace. You're not just talking the talk, I can tell. And yeah, we've had conversations about skin and bones, and, you know, they're just boundaries, and that's just the, you know, the form, and it's not really who we are. We, you know, we're much more beyond that. You know, that, but, and it's easy to say that when you're well, though, isn't it? How does it feel when that becomes more significant?
I think it's just as real. It's just as much a possibility, but you don't know, and you're much more up against the wall, in a sense. I will find that out at some point or other, and I'm not afraid about it. I've never, ever seen life after death as to do with fear. I think it's much more, if life is going on, it will go on in a form that I can't possibly imagine, just in the same way that when I was born, I couldn't imagine what being born was going to be like. So I'm open to the possibility that this Ruth Scott doesn't know very much at all, and there will be a whole lot more for her to discover, perhaps. Who knows? And I'm open to that possibility, I hope, and that those energies that you talk about and that we've talked about at different times, that connect us, that go beyond the boundaries. There's this lovely saying by... I think it's Meister
Eckhart.
No, not Meister Eckhart. Teilhard to Chardin. And what is it, Chris? Remind me. Because it's a key
thing for me. Matter is spirit moving slowly enough to see.
Yes, matter is spirit moving slowly enough to see. And when I was going through treatment, that was really important, because instead of seeing myself as a separate body and spirit, it just seemed to me that we're a continuum of energy, and the energy moves in different forms and different ways. And that's been crucial in trying to help me understand my cancer and work with my cancer, live with my cancer, and now die with my cancer and accept it. And I'm glad to have had that experience. In some ways, Chris, I wouldn't have changed this.
What about this chap behind me?
I adore him, and the leaving of him is the hardest bit. Leaving of my kids is the hardest bit. But we all have to leave at some point. And I have to let go, and they have to let go of me, and that's part of our journey.
What's the one thing you would tell us all not to worry about? While we are alive, what nonsense should we just disregard on a daily basis?
Oh, Chris, I've spent so much time worrying about things that never happened and will never happen. And I just wish that I had created space earlier in which good things could just take place, rather than me feeling all the time that I had to make them happen. There was a point in time when I thought that the saving of the world was up to me. That sort of arrogance.
So sometimes leave a bit more space for yourself and for everything else, maybe.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Leave space and don't sweat the stuff.
Don't sweat the small stuff.
Well, and don't sweat the big stuff either, because it will sort itself out. And every time when I look through my life at different things that have happened, whether it's been in the mediation area, gosh, I couldn't mediate now at all.
I think you did a pretty good job, to be honest.
I can't think straight. But in the mediation area, when I went into nursing, when I left school, when I went into broadcasting, when I went into all the things that I've done, they came out of left field. You know, I like to think that I was instrumental in making them happen, but they happened. And when I look back on it, I think, well, I didn't really make that happen. It just fell into place.
But it came to everybody else and everything else via you. That's the thing, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know, Chris. I feel like I've been enormously privileged to be with all the people that I've been with, to travel as much as I've travelled.
Now, I've been asked to speak at your memorial service, which is very strange because you're still here. But obviously you've had a hand in that as well. How do you want that to be? You know, what kind of atmosphere would you like it to be? How long would you like it to be?
Celebratory. I want a memorial service of colour and elements, air and earth and wind and fire. And I want to have colourful flowers and coats and scarves and just a riot of colour. That would be so wonderful. And people having a good time and recognising me in the service, because sometimes at funeral services you don't always recognise the person who's being buried or cremated or whatever's happening to them. And I'd like people to say, oh, that was Ruth, when they come out.
Isn't it funny that my mum died last year, as you know, yes. And she was all skin and bones by the end of it. But it seems that what ends up being the least important with us first, because your eyes have never been brighter.
Yeah. But then you see, I'm really alive at the moment. Isn't that strange? Just before I die, I'm really alive. And there have been many moments, I think, where I've had those alive eyes moments in my life. And the more alive eyes moments that you can get with your life, the better.
Thumbs up there from Ruth Scott. All right, Ruth, I'm not going to say goodbye because I don't want it to be goodbye.
I don't want it to be goodbye, Chris. And who knows? We don't know everything. And we just are open to the universe.
But you know more than most.
Sadly not.
It's true. Right, we're going to turn this off now and have a cup of tea.
Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.